And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Yep. Hello. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. We took off for the holidays a little bit because we could. So this is what we did. Friday, we reran Jeffrey Tucker's interview from Thursday. And then we go, you know what? We'll rerun it Monday. So it was so popular that we just said, okay, we'll just go ahead and do that. Because it's the end of the year. There's a lot of things coming on. Jeffrey Tucker, you know, we made a new friend. And we could see, we've known of each other. And been recommended by, you know, to each other by people that support both, kind of whatever we finally got together. Now, Jeffrey, I think I've had him on before on something else, and he's written an article for a previous e-zine, and he did again for this week also. Oh, that's another thing. We're going to delay publication of the magazine from this Friday to maybe next Friday. Donna might put it out Monday or maybe do Saturday or whatever, but I'm not going to rush it because we have so many, you know, holiday things and end-of-year stuff and parties and stuff, you know? So I'm going to go ahead and do a show on New Year's Day, even though we got a party that night, because, you know, it's just, but then we'd have them rerun, and it'd be, because we did Friday and Monday as reruns, so then, you know, what am I going to do, an old rerun, and it was old, you know, so we'll go ahead and do Wednesday, but we're going to go ahead and put off on, because I want to do the cover, spend more time on the cover. And there was a lot of things, you know, a lot of the authors like, I just can't do it. I got, you know, I said, you know what? We're not going to stress it. We're just going to put it off a few days because we can. So we'll get the magazine out and you'll get a better version by doing that anyway. Because the cover, I wanted to, we did this the previous year for January. It's future predictions. And that's when we came up with our Robo Babe, you know, that we always have on the cover. She had her own Freedom's Phoenix spaceship. I don't know if you guys have seen that cover. Oh, it's the Phoenix, you know, the bird. Oh, you know, for those of you, you go to freedomsphoenix.com on the top left up there, right underneath the bird, you'll see it says magazine, radio, TV in red, and it drops down. You go to online magazine list, okay? If you did, I will show you. Here we go. See this one. I want to go. Wait. I go to this one. There we go. Okay. Now you go to magazine, radio, TV, drops down. You go to online magazine list, and then you have the covers. Okay. Now there's another way of doing this is, let me show you. You go to right above with the first headline there, it'll say subscribe to magazine now. And it gives you all the stuff, and it says more magazine. Subscription information, and this is where Donna puts each one of the links to, you know, for our subscribers. They just go in and click to the next issue. That's our first cover, ain't it, Purdy? Okay, now each one of these covers, you know, kind of has something to do with the inside, and we go all the way down to it was January of April, March. Oh, come on, man. There it is. Okay. So January 12th, last year, Now, you'll see the ship here is a phoenix. Now, the thrusters right here, the wings turn like a bird coming, a big bird coming in for a landing. You know, it turns the wings up and so on. Also, it has thrusters all around the wingtips when we do future versions of this, that when it takes off, it has such a big thrust that the whole thing is engulfed in flame. And that's what, you know, it looks like. The Phoenix and the landing gear is retractable landing gear that come out and look like bird feet. You know, they kind of, and it can perch on cliffs, you know. And my fighters come in, man. Woo! They're all lined up on the canyon wall. Know what I mean? Yeah, baby. And the head kind of turns and she's integrated into the ship, you know, with her hands and head, and the bird moves with her body and going into the fight. Whoa, it's going to be whip ass. You know, that's going to be fun. So we designed this, you know, for future. Now, what happens is this month, what we're working on, future predictions, as we did back then. You know, they should look at these. Because I remember we had future, I have to log in stuff. We'll do that in a little bit. So you go to the last few. Well, I tell you this one right here. This is a spaceship orbiting, I mean, a space station, big circle donut, 2001 Elysium kind of thing, that is circling Mars in orbit, mining an asteroid. Now, I instructed Athena, I said, we're working on a design that will show around an Earth orbit with the moon and sun in the background and different mooring stations, kind of like a marina, you know, that's out, you know, next to the station. So we're working on that now. And I really want to spend some time on and get that kind of done. And I'll tell you why. Because I can see, you know, from my perspective, what's going to happen in the future. And I try and depict that in the articles that are written, you know, and the covers that depict it. And, you know, how the cities might look and how you would have different, you know, things that, and technology and philosophy. And the one thing I really want to focus on is the philosophy. I am of the opinion that all this that we see, the materials that we make things out of, you know, the things that we drink, the food that we eat, you know, the things that we learn, the philosophy that we advocate, is going to be a lot different, and it's going to be new and old. You know, we're going to go back to some basic fundamental caveman knew better principles and use our minds and our brain to protect, you know, what's going to happen. That was one thing Anthony Gregory and I are, he really helped me with what the definition of Austrian economics was. We were at, one of the functions we were at, and he goes, and I said, look, all right, Austrian economics in a nutshell, man. Tell me what's up. Because it seems to me that they're always, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the Fed. You know, they're looking at numbers that, you know, dials and numbers. They come to the conclusion that, you know, you turn these numbers, these dials and so on, just by turning dials you cause problems. You know, leave it alone, let the free market do it. But they're still talking numbers. Is it a philosophy or a science? I mean, it's art, science, what is it? And Anthony kind of made the point, it's more like a, you know, like a math thing. You know, to them is like, you know, they try to figure out what happens when you turn the dot. By doing this, you interrupt the flow of blah, 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 and you get, and it's all numbers. It's just supported by a philosophy of leave me aloneism, basically, okay? By letting the free market, you have certain structures that allows the free market to work, and you just let it go. You protect property rights, and you just, and, you know, good things happen. And I'm going, okay, so is it a number thing or a philosophy thing? I mean, so it's kind of both, but, you know, I kind of got the impression it wasn't as much backed by a philosophy, it was backed by results. Austrian economics is still, you know, looking at numbers. It's going, okay, you do this, this happens for this reason, they try and figure it out. I understand. But that, I try and, it's still more complex and more, you know, math and more calculators and more than I would be comfortable with, you know? If you can have a philosophy that's just backed up by supporting evidence, you know, well, that's cool. But what's the philosophy? You know, is there, can you have leave me aloneism and still have, you know, a free market, you know, without some kind of structure there? And what's the structure? It's the culture behind it. So we're going to talk about the future. When we come back, I'll just go over some stuff. You know, it's end of the year. You know, it's New Year's Eve. We just talk about what we think is going to happen and get ready to write down some predictions and put it in your, you know, calendar. Remind you, I said it.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the years has already happened.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Okay, what we're going to do is I just want to kind of, you know, prove the point. But we're going to go ahead and do some predictions for this next year. And what I've done in the past is this. When you do predictions, you know, it doesn't mean anything unless you go back and look at what you predicted. All right? Now, I always invite the audience to do this. And I go, okay. On your email, on your Google calendars or your calendars or your, you know, inbox of your Microsoft Word, email, Thunderbird, whatever the heck, you go in there and they'll have reminders, or you can set dates and different things that, you know, pop up, remind you, whatever. So go ahead and you do the same thing for like next Christmas, like next Thanksgiving or something like that, you know, end of November, beginning of December. You know, put in there like, ooh, it'll come up. It'll go Ernie predictions. All right. So you go ahead and you put in there and you type in, and I've done this, God, since I started doing radio in 03. And I go, all right, here we go. And I put that up and I said, all right, I'm going to make predictions today. And every time I make a prediction, you just put it in there. Then when it pops up about Thanksgiving, you know, early December of 14, you'll go, oh, maybe you might do it before, like Halloween, right before the elections, or right after the elections, you know, right before Thanksgiving. Because the elections are always in, was it the first or second Tuesday of November, something like that. So, and it keeps changing. So you go ahead on, and you put that up there, and you go, all right, what did Ernie say? What happened? And you'll go, how did he know? You know, God, he must be Gerald Celente. So you go, okay. So future trends. So you go ahead and do that and get that set up. And today as we talk and yak, or you're listening to the archive or something, you just go ahead and put it in there. And then when the time comes up, you go, all right, how much crap was Ernie full of? And then you'll go, wow, he like, wow, how'd that happen? You know, what did he see? Because they're bad, and you know they're just going to keep being bad, and the good people are going to be, you know, trying to ignore them. And then, you know, what's the ramifications of that? And what technologies are out there? What stuff is out there that you can play with, you know, and you kind of extrapolate what's going to happen? You know, well, I've been predicting a lot of things that you predict, you know, is coming. It's just when. Well, sometimes you're patient. Like Dr. Paul for 40 years. So I'm in this for the 40-year thing, you know? So it I know sooner or later all this stuff's going to happen. You know, it's like, seriously. But, you know, it's how fast is, you know, but you can see progress. Or, you know, the big thing is the repudiation of someone implanting their judgment over yours. This is the one thing that just the ideology that you need some kind of, you know, granting of sanctioned by authority, fill in the blank. Think about it. If it didn't get approved by the church, you are a heretic. We just burn you, torture you, and inquisition you. You know, and I mean, it was, oh, I'm sorry. You better rewrite that, you know. So this is, that concept is going away, you know, more and more. But they try and put you back into this worship authority thing because they have to. They, them, those, the one that won't leave you alone. How much of our effort goes to sustain people that didn't do anything? They're just parasites. I'll give you an example. We were talking about it over the weekend. I don't remember how it came up, but I'm getting to the point where I'm like, yeah, you know, this, all this, when it goes away, then what? And I mean, when you know, all of a sudden, you know, the grocery shelves aren't as full as they used to be, you know, when you options whittle down, when things aren't done, you know, all the promises government made that they're going to do for you, they just start going away one by one. Now, ask Detroit. You know, I seriously, you know, I mean, all the, you know, your pensions and retirements and IRAs and 401ks and all that kind of stuff is gone. I mean, it's not yours anymore. They're stealing it, you know, stealing it as they print the money. Everything that you have is valued less. You know, it has less value until it's valueless. So I'm going, okay, all right, that's one prediction, is that your everything that you own and have and accumulated that's in dollars will be worth less by the end of this year than it is, you know, at the end of this year. I mean, you know, in the next year. So I'm going, a year from now, it's going to be worth less until it's worth less. So this is, so then you go, all right, are they taking care of them? Yeah, you know, they got tunnels that go for miles and miles and miles. Almost over yesterday, we're doing some of the, you know, she's teaching me how, whatever, her job. So we're going over the social networking stuff and kind of how we're integrating and planning different things that we're doing and we're working. So Gina and Donna's doing kind of the newspapers coming along, and we got, you know, different things that we're starting then tomorrow. I told her, I said, that's why we're working tomorrow. I'm going, you know, I'm telling you, you know, when it starts first of the year, it's head down plow. Sent out a bunch of stuff to the Freedom Summit speakers and the contracts, and here's all the graphics and your picture on and the Facebook promotion of, and we're going to, and we'll have different prizes for different people doing different stuff, and kind of we're going to kick ass. So that's coming. Now, the thing is that, in the process of all this, we were talking about, well, God, when things go, I mean, you think they'll be all right? Alma was telling me that there was, you know, big, giant, long tunnels in Missouri and Canada, you know, wherever the heck it is, that, you know, like Kraft cheese, you know, will store a bunch of their cheeses. You know, cheese gets better with age. I mean, you got to have somewhere to put it, and where do you put it? It's cool. It's, you know, in tunnels, big, giant 18-wheelers going back far into the whatever. Heck, you know, there's a complex underneath Denver Airport. So, you know, you do all this kind of, you go, all right, well, I guess they got enough food, they, them, those. You know, they probably, you know, got a little, you know, extra tunnel that goes off in the room and the complex, so they'll be fine. All right, they will survive. We will survive. Humanity will survive. And it's going to be represented by all the bureaucrats and the politicians and they, them, those that wouldn't leave us alone, that's going to, you know, rise from the ashes and rebuild the society as they see fit. Yay. I feel so much better. So what happens when you go in? You, hey, man, you know, what do you think they're protecting themselves against? Us. You know, we're not on their list. You know, it's not about, oh, we got to, you know, save humanity in our image. We're God, okay? You know, or is it, you know, we're going to save the people? I mean, you know, everybody's so worried about saving the ship of state, the continuation of government, okay? The continue, who the hell wants to continue government? I mean, you see, it's just their mindset. It's that they would even say that. So everybody's so concerned about the ship of state. Well, it's the Titanic, man. You know, we've already hit the iceberg. It's going down. You know, start making rowboats out of doors or something. Okay? I mean, this is, you know, start doing, get ready to go, get the Carpathia, get in the row, get off. You know, and let go, man. I don't want to save that. I want to save the people. People's not even on their radar. Doesn't even, what? They're just, you know, cannon fodder. So as it goes down and the people are, you know, they know that there's a bunch of resources somewhere and they show up, they'll just kill you. You're going, hey, man, did my tax money pay for all that? We're out here starving and you're in there living it up behind the, you know, big giant blast doors of. Who thought that up? Where'd that come from? What was the philosophy behind that? That's what we're going to talk about today. And we'll use that to extrapolate, you know, future predictions. And I'll explain why it's so obvious what's going to happen. And then when it happens, how'd you know that? How did you not? We'll talk about it. Be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
OMG, Jack, have you...
Okay, what we're going to do is I want to play this Conan piece, and the point that he was making is that, you know, the media is so freaking, it's not really long, it's only about 2.5 minutes, but it'll seem long because it's just all the media saying the same thing, the programming of we get everybody, you know. You wonder why the media is so lightly patronized and they're still in business. Why? Because they're just a control mechanism of something else that makes money doing something else somewhere else. There's a big, giant need for, like, Gannett, you know, to have all these different media outlets. Like, it's like GE having NBC. Well, if they get, you know, a significant portion of society to go, yeah, we need to, like, you know, make more bombs and stuff, you know, and nuclearize this and drop that and shoot something. You know, well, that has value. Now, FaceTime on the newsstand, Newsweek for a dollar. I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing that it's so obvious to a lot of it. But sometimes, like, you know, The Daily Show or Colbert or Conan or somebody, they'll make a point of this. There was every effort to get you in as much debt as possible, to get you to spend as much as possible. Well, spend our way out of this thing. You know, debt. Who controls that? Who's the mind behind this banking thing? Get you into more debt to have you be more of an interest slave. You know, who is that? I don't know. Think about it. Now, those of you that can hear, you know, it's be obvious. But those of you can see is that these newscasters, it's ABC, NBC, CBS. It is, you know, the local media. It's the national media. And it's just scripted. Having been in the newsrooms, okay, I've worked at radio stations and this, I see this happening. That's why when we first started Freedom's Phoenix, there's a big industry magazine called Talkers Magazine, and it's like one of those big tabloid kind of, you know, thing. It's like a magazine, but it's one of those big ones that sits on the coffee table in the reception area at any major media, certainly radio stations. And it just, you know, promotions for, you'll see Free Talk Live stuff in there all the time. And I never, you know, pushed the radio show, but we would push Freedom's Phoenix as top producer's tool. Be at least as informed as your audience. I haven't pushed, you know, it might be time. You know, we might, you know, we get all set and get caught up in all our projects and everything. We'll go ahead and start pushing the show for more affiliates and doing whatever, because I think it's a timing thing. As much as I like to supply content for various different, you know, networks and different stations and, you know, whatever and so on, it's a, you know, it's better than, you know, not, you know, it's, you know, wakes you up. Wake up! You know, put down that fish wrap and freshen up your coffee. It's time for Declare Your Independence. Understand, guy? You awake now? That's how I get awake. Anyway, so what happens is that, when you come into the newsroom and you get the, like the bullet points from everybody, it's just everybody telling you what to say. Oh, and this is the message from the realm. You know, the king has, you know, proclaimed that you will talk about fill in the blank. And your job, that's what you do. Your job, you know, read the teleprompter. You know, it's like, what's his name? Anchorman, you know, whatever's on that teleprompter. So, okay. So we're going to go ahead and play this real quick. Yeah, we got a little time. And I just want you to, I know it's drones on, but it just gives you the point. So what we did, top producer's tool, know at least as much as your audience, freedomsphoenix.com. And the whole point was, and that's why we go out at 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. is to make it in time for prep for the morning shows on the East Coast and the afternoon shows. That's why we do that. But, of course, you know, for subscribers and everything, what do they care? They wake up and it's ready. But the reason we set it for that early is because a lot of talk shows, they count on Freedom's Phoenix. And if it's not that, well, what you got? The Drudge Report? That's what the Drudge Report. It's like, you know, this is the mission. Conan showed just how bad this is. You know, suffer with me. You know, that's just the way it is. All right, here we go. Ugh.
A lot of people think the big news stories these days are, well, a judge ruling against snooping by the NSA or the big fight in Congress over the new proposed budget. A lot of people say those are the big stories. But judging by local news, and I've been looking at a lot of local news, there's an even bigger story that's sweeping the nation right now.
Who are you really shopping for this holiday season? It's okay, you can admit it, if you've bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
Well, it's okay, you can admit it if you have bought an item or two or maybe ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it, you've bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it, if you've bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it, if you've bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it, if you've bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it, Todd. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or maybe ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought one or two or maybe three or four, maybe even ten items for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or maybe ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought maybe an item or two or ten for yourself.
Is it okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or three or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you brought an item or two or ten for you.
It's okay, you can admit it.
If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten. Say for yourself.
It's okay, admit it. If you bought an item or two or ten for yourself.
It's okay, you can admit it. If you bought yourself one or two or ten things for yourself, because a lot of people do it.
Wow. Scary. I find it frightening.
Scary. Okay. This is, I see this all the, my entire adult life. I tell you when I first started realizing this. I mean, to this extent, it just happened to just click. And I'm sure a lot of people come to the same realization if you're watching network television or any television. It went like this. It's a late 80s. I just had, you know, Donna's probably pregnant with our fourth child, Sierra, you know, born 20 something years ago. 24 years ago. Okay. So that's like in 89. Okay. So I remember it was back then, and you come home from work, you know, we're working all day, we're doing out in the, you know, the heat, you know, long story. So we're coming home. I go in, play with the kids. Donna's making dinner. All of a sudden, I'm starting to feel all kind of suburbanized. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you get fed, you play with the family, you turn on the news. There's the news. And now we have, you know, pretty good remotes. All right. Now, they like work and stuff. I go ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS. ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS. ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, CNN. Oh, I'm going to start going to cable. Okay. All right, we'll go check the news there. So you go through and you go blip, blip, especially when it was the network, ABC, NBC, CBS. They're probably, you know, more notorious. The same thing happened over at CNN. It just wasn't in the exact same order. But if you were doing ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, and you go click, 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 it was the same five stories in the same order. And it was the same opinion. Oh, we're going to tell you what we're going to tell you. Here's the story we told. They were going to tell you what we just told you, and it was for you to do this. Go buy 10 gifts for yourself. It's okay. On everything. And you go, damn, who's really running this show? Oh, we'll talk.
Freedom Summit 2014, February, in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Since 2001, the Freedom Summit has annually featured many rising stars of the Liberty Movement before they were proven right. The 2014 Freedom Summit has been crafted to provide a glimpse of the future and how best to position your family as we transition away from authoritarianism to a voluntarist society. Freedom Summit 2014's partial speaker list includes anti-police state columnist Will Grigg and anarchist Larkin Rose. They are Saturday night's dinner double feature. Other Freedom Summit presenters include co-host of Ron Paul's America and New York Times bestselling author Charles Goyette. Independent Institute's Anthony Gregory. Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope. International columnist Paul Rosenberg. Criminal defense attorney Mark J. Victor and 3D gun printer Cody Wilson. And that's just half the list. See the full list at freedomsummit.com. The Freedom Summit, where the great minds of the modern freedom movement have been coming together since 2001.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At Free Aid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. Free Aid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The Free Aid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you.
Got to break free from what? They, them, those, whatever. Okay, that's what we're going to do. In the next hour, Donna will join us, and we'll go ahead and get to it. But what I want to do is I want to go ahead and read this article. Welcome to the Memory Hole, Disappearing Edward Snowden. Those of you that are familiar with 1984, George Orwell's dystopian novel about, you know, Here It Comes, this was, God, that was written back in the, you know, decades before. Now, I should look, Donna, look up and see when the book 1984, what the published date was that, of that was. God, it could have been 49 or something. I mean, it was a while ago. But you can see, that's why it's easy to predict the future, because you can see the philosophy, the culture that's driving certain things, or people that are driving the culture. It's just how influential are they? And what are the other forces? I mean, compare. When you got Conan up there doing, you know, every freaking news outlet on the planet looking to fill time with, you know, Lord knows what, went to their, you know, we got 10 minutes to do and what's off the shelf and this was sent by, you know, agency, De La, whatever the heck. You know, where did they get this? You know, that would be interesting to go and say, okay, this particular story, and it showed all the different television stations, local stations, networks, and so on. Yeah, 1949, 1984. Wow. Why did he pick that? That would be 35 years. Was that 35 years? 50 to 80 is 35 years. Okay. Well, you just pulled it out of the hat. All right. So I'm going, okay, if they are able to, how would they be able to do that? Where does that come from? The Ministry of Truth? You know, because whatever the government calls something, it's always the opposite of whatever they call it. You know, the Ministry of Truth is like the Ministry of Not Truth. Okay. So I'm going, I can feel it without even, I remember reading 1984 when I was in junior high. So it's at 76 or something. You know, that was part of the reading. And then I saw the movie later and I'm going, okay, it still was kind of foggy until you go back and you start reading it as an adult. You know, and I haven't read it straight through. You read different segments and so on. But I'm going, wow, man, what was it that gave him such clairvoyance? You know, what was that? What is it? It's philosophy, human nature. You can see with power, people will do until they can't. Why do they do these? Because they can. Until what? Until they can't. Now, math can get into there. You know, value, money. You know, you kind of have commodities of exchange. You know, it's going to be raw materials. I mean, that's what Atlas Shrugged is all about. That's what Ayn Rand was. You go, look, you know, what happens when you lose, the value of money? Oh, how much do commodities cost? Where is that? You know, what happens when you have people of ill repute, which always goes to the government, able to control and do and pass law and get and plunder from? What happens? You know, how does society respond to that? At what point does it finally, do you shrug it? Atlas holding up the world just says, you know what? Yeah, screw it, man. And he's sitting there sweating, going, oh, he just shrugs it. Atlas Shrugged. That's what that was about. Where the great minds go on strike. It's already starting to happen, and some of the guys are getting worried about it. When you start having seasteading, hey, you know, I'm not getting a yacht. I'm just getting part of or get my own city. I valued being left alone-ism more than, give me a space station. Put me on. So that's why this cover is going to, we're going to show a good depiction of, what might Elysium look like. I was not a big giant fan of the movie. I saw that was kind of cool, and I liked the space station, but it was just because the main thing what they were saying was is it was universal health care for everybody is what they were talking about, and I'm going, which is fine. As long as they did their best to make the point that you have such wealthy, such rich with the ability to heal themselves on a daily basis to get on the bed and zap, I'm healed of whatever, and then you got all these crippled. Infirm and dependent people on the surface supplying all your goodies, you might call it the taxpayers, and they don't get access to all the goodies that you help pay for. Well, I assume that they don't get into that part, property rights or anything. So I'm just going, yeah, it's just like, but if they were to put a little different twist on it to where the elite got Elysium, this beautiful space station, all this technology that could heal everybody on the surface, if they made the point that it was forced labor or you don't have the freedom, you're held down by security robots, you just do, the bidding of a massa, if you kind of approached it for that, oh, hell yeah, I'm all over it. But they never approached that. It's never, like the system's fault or the government's fault. It's always about, we need the government to redistribute all the resources of that one little space station for the entire planet. And we're going to go take it and shoot them and stuff. It's just the philosophy behind it. And, of course, you get Jodie Foster and Matt Damon up there just happy to, we're going to attack and get and take. And people die if you don't give it to it and redistribute. And how's that work out? So I'm they're never going to get to the real issue. So one of my first predictions. This is my prediction. And I can't really say that it happened this year, but it's soon. It is going to be another blockbusting movie that will be a classic in, the vein of Braveheart, Patriot, Gladiator, V for Vendetta, Lord of the Rings, Matrix, in that genre. I mean, blockbuster, Avatar, Big, where the individual or the small group or the tribe or the one, usually the one versus the many, the one versus the collective, the individual versus statism. It will be another big giant blockbuster, and sooner or later, there will be to where it will be freaking neon flashing, we're not holding back obvious, that it is they, them, those, the parasites of humanity that have built themselves an oh my goodness ark. And they're going to be just fine. And when they come out and the tens or hundreds of millions that lay waste or billions, they'll be just fine. They planned out for them being just fine. And Earth be a lot better because they're just fine. And you're not. That movie will come out, and it will be a blockbuster, oh my God. And it'll be done by, the Wachowski brothers or brother-sister team, what it is now. And, and we're going to have, ooh, in that get. Directed by, Scott Ridley or Ridley Scott or whatever his name is. Done by J.J. Abrams. Right? The future Star Trek episodes, another sequel will have the kind of the independence rising up. Oh, I got time for this. I just finished the series Enterprise. You know, I never wanted it when it came out. You know, it was kind of cool with T'Pol, you know, and Captain Archer. And it was when they first started getting warp drive and the first warp 5 engine, and they were just starting to, Vulcans are kind of, okay, we're going to let you go out in space and, you know, have you, we'll put an officer on your ship and kind of make sure you don't get in too much trouble. Well, of course, they got in trouble. And they saved the universe, you know, several times. So they go through the whole series. Second to last episode, one of the star characters got killed off. I'm so pissed, you know, but it made it better and kind of, you know, you always got to, you know, they do that to you. But what's the next one? After this, the first ship, what would be the next one? It'd be Star Trek Federation. Because right then they got kind of an alliance thing. It's the birth of the Federation. You can see it coming. You know, you got the, you know, the League of Nations didn't work out. So then they do the United Nations thing. And how'd that go? Heck, even their insignia looks like the United Nations, you know, symbol and so on. So I'm just going, okay. So what will happen? Will you get a Firefly thing in there? Where will the planets or the independents, are they allowed not to join the Federation? Are they allowed? That was kind of the thing. Hey, man, if you don't want to be, it's okay. But, you know, I like to know the little politicking behind of what that means. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we don't trade this. You get blasted that. We got, no, you got signed to die. You must give up some of your side. It's not like a, you know, mutual, we cede our benefit of being friends and everything. No, you must sign the paper over and you be part of under the conditions of your blah, 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 blah. Instead of a good neighbor thing. It's a concept. You can see what's coming. With government, with a federation, with this kind of mentality, Gene Roddenberry, you know, gave probably the best spin you could on it. So it's been kind of embraced by both sides. Can we have a benevolent, good government up in the Federation? I don't know. Who's going to do the movie to depict this concept? This fight, so we can look into the future and see what. Why is 1984 an instruction manual? The next hour we come back, I'll read this real quick because there's something that's come, another prediction, the memory hole, where they're taking all digitized information and scrubbing you out. We planned on that 7 years ago. It's all archived. Hello.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Burn the whole effing system to the ground. Except they said the bad word. Okay. This is burn the whole system to the ground. It's a story Pal put up on Freedom's Phoenix, and let me tell you how it goes. I'm a good judge. Okay. I'm a good judge, said by government employee and judge Giselle Pollock, who, it seems, sentenced people to jail because of their drug use while she herself was high on drugs. But in her defense, she had some severe personal tragedy in her life. And that's why it seems she's been allowed to check herself into rehab instead of being thrown into jail. Because not a single poor person or non-government employee who gets caught using drugs ever had some severe personal tragedy in their life. This is, you know, this is what one prediction that I want to make. The double standard is going to become starker. It's going to become very, very clear. There is a, you know, a class of rules and regulations and stuff for they, them, those, and for you. And it comes down, either you're a protected class, either you're a made man or woman, or it's going to be in a method of, Are you complying? It is an attitude of contrition. This is something you hear a lot. Well, we added another 5 years on the guy's sentence because we didn't think that he was sorry enough. He wasn't contrite. He didn't, you know, lick the hand of the judge. This is, I'm telling you, it's so reminiscent of other totalitarian regimes. You know, you're going to jail. Oh, you're going to be punished. It's just how much is how much you can grovel before the court. You know, you have to, and some people you can't. I mean, like me, I mean, you know, I can put on a show. Oh, yes, I'm so sorry. Well, those people know that. You know, they think that's really what, you know, I'm, you know, or am I just, you know, taking a few years off? I'll be good. You know what I do? Yeah. Here's all my guns. He comes to my door. They're right over there. All the ones that you know about. Okay? So this is, I mean, don't put yourself in a position to where, one, you have to be in that position, and two, you know, you're going to mediate, you know, mitigate your damage as much as you can. Yeah, probably. I mean, count on it. Don't count on me to do whatever for him. Yes, boss, I'll be good. And then I'll get mine. It's one conversation I was having with Alma yesterday is I'm just, you know, the amount of abuse that we put up with, and a lot of people, they just feel this, you know, this injustice. And she was making it clear that her, you know, I'll talk about this. This is, okay, we'll get to this, the Orwell thing here in a little bit, but I want to make this point. How do you keep your sanity in amongst all the stuff that's coming, all the injustices, all the double standards, all of the lies, all of the, you know, how do you maintain, you know, a positive attitude, you want to have the law of attraction to be good people with good things, you know, and planning for the future, you know, it's going to, yeah, okay, that's, you know, baked in the cake, probably, yeah, okay, it's probably bad, that means I probably should do this and that and not that or this, you know. It's just the revolution is little decisions that you make throughout your day. Do I or do I not get a, you know, a Bitcoin wallet? Do I or do I not ask the guy on Craigslist if he takes silver? Do I or do I not, you know, purchase this other crap and buy the, you know, all the self-gifting of the 10 little things? It's okay. Okay. Do I or do I not do these things? What's my, you know, every one of these itty bitty little decisions, that is the revolution. What'd you think it was going to look like? It's going to be how you choose to take care of yourself and your family. It's going to be that simple. It's just little bitty decisions. All right. Well, that's what'd you think? So I'm going to, you know, and what's revolutionary is providing options. It's a revolutionary act for even to have you think about something or do something, but what's revolutionary is providing that opportunity to subscribe to Freedom's Phoenix e-zine, to get the free subscription of the email dispatch today. There is a, you know, something that you can do. It's a revolutionary act. So, you know, we have some writers, but, you know, Libman, you know, are definitely from the left, but he's got good research. I mean, the conclusion is we need a better government department of, but, you know, it's, but he definitely, you know, thinks about a lot of stuff, and we'll look at some of his predictions and see, you know, how close we are. But, you know, go ahead. Heck, just mark this show. You know, you put in your calendar, okay, Ernie said this, or just, you know, here's the link to today's show. You know, the predictions of, you know, around Thanksgiving or something, before Thanksgiving of this next year in 14, you do it and you go, wow, you know, he kind of came off pretty good. So we'll do that. Donna's doing something. I tell you what she's doing right now in this segment. We have a Freedom Summit meetup, and what made me think of it is there's some people that are having caravans coming. You know, they're starting to share rides, you know, make it cheaper and easier for them to come to the summit, and, you know, they'll share rooms, and they'll, you know, 14 to a room, whatever they're going to do. That's their thing. But to help that, you know, I remember in one previous summit we did in 10, you know, we had Freedom Summit meetup, and I go, do we have Freedom Summit meetup? Are we paying monthly for this thing? Is this a charge? How much a month is that? I'm paying $19 a month for that. I didn't even know this. I better get some freaking use out of it now. You know, that's not, let's see, that's 10, 9, 2, 3, that's 4, that's like a crap load of money. That's not using it. I'm sorry, what?
You told me years ago just to keep it up there, keep it going, so I did. It's just one of those things, you know. Well, eventually, it's put it off to the side. We'll use it eventually, and so now we can
Heck,
use
well,
it.
I got to sell two things just to pay for it being there all this time. All right. Anyway, we got it there. Okay, be Freedom Summit 2014. You know, she'll change and do it. I forgot all about this. But the reason we did it was because there were a lot of people that did that. They made use of this. They're going, yeah, you know, I'm going. Are you going? We'll all go, and we meet up and go and communicate and work, and it worked. Well, we have another site. It was RonPaulRevolution.org, and that was the organizational thing. And it would, you know, we'd have everybody, everything, all their information, phone number, address, contact information, how they, and let it self-organize. Say, look, you want to sign up and do and coordinate and who's driving kind of with and what? Boom, there it is. You know, from date to date and how it's going, kind of, they're done. And I'm going, okay, so we may incorporate that into there to be kind of a scheduler. Because some people are coming at different times, and they would put in, okay, I'll be 3 days early because we want to go see whatever and do it, and I'm going to be here, and then I'm leaving this time, and who wants to coordinate their time off to come with my time and we'll spare time. So I'm going, okay, so we're going to do that. So Freedom Summit 2014, let's do Freedom Summit Meetup. We're going to go ahead and update it and get it all done and start using that, because I didn't think about that until some people started talking about they're doing caravans and sharing rides, and all right, fine. So we'll help with that if we can. So we'll work on that. That'll be up there. Now, Donna's working on that. And the, what was I on? I was, you know, expressing myself on something.
Stephen Lindman.
Yeah, but it wasn't that. It was, that'll come to me. Done that. The, I want to make sure that we are in a situation when this thing comes down, this thing. It's coming down now. I was at a wedding Saturday, a good friend of mine's daughter that, you know, grew up with our kids, known her since forever. She's 25. And her brother starts coming up, and he wants to be a policeman. And he's coming up, yeah, Ernie, what about, you know, and you hear and kind of saw it. And I said, why do you want to be a police? Don't do this. You know, save your soul, man. I mean, you know, this is, I go, when you got a guy, I tell you a circumstance. You got a guy down, and they're pounding on him. Four other guys, cops showing, they're kicking him and pounding on him. What are they screaming the entire time? And he knew the answer. Stop resisting arrest. And I go, are you going to be that guy? Or the guy saying stop? Freedom Summit 2014, this February in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. This summit has been crafted to provide a glimpse of the future and how best to position yourself and your loved ones as we transition away from authoritarianism to a voluntarist society. Don't be surprised. Be informed, be entertained, and network with Generation Next, the inheritors of the future that are already creating the infrastructure of tomorrow today. Details at freedomsummit.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
It's still New Year's, it's not even January yet, so we can still do some holiday, because I can.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
I mean, Nat King Cole, how can you go wrong? All right.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Yeah, we're still in the holiday season, except Donna has already started taking, you know, her and Gina has taken down the Christmas lights on the inside and probably finish the outside and stuff tomorrow. Man, I never got this efficient. Usually it's me doing it in March. So anyway, so they're getting things all winding down from the holidays. Tonight we have a New Year's Eve party we're going to. Oh, the new drink. All right, check this out. Go get that bottle, will you please? Okay, this is what we did. We have a new drink, all right? We'll put the recipe in the magazine or something. This stuff was awesome. Barry Hess and Gina came over, I don't know, this weekend sometime, and we're just hanging, and he was talking about a drink that he had. It was Southern Comfort and eggnog or something, and I go, wow, that sounds like that might be pretty good. Because I remember we always had eggnog. I used to think eggnog came with Christian Brothers brandy, okay? When I was a kid, I thought that was eggnog. Because I never touched eggnog for years, never touched my lips unless it was mixed with Christian Brothers brandy at, you know, Christmas time. And I was like, as a kid, I'm going, well, can't I just have some of the eggnog without? And, you know, I drink, ooh, that's good, too. I like that. And they go, and that's the way it was supposed to be done. I didn't know that. for years. I thought eggnog was like a mix. It was like amaretto and, you know, Kahlua or something. You know, I didn't know the difference. All right. So what happened was, I'm going, wow, I know. Donna got me some called Fireball cinnamon whiskey. All right. You see this stuff? That's yummy. It's very yummy. Very yummy. Very yummy. Now, what I did is I go, okay, the taste, I mean, it's like you put a cinnamon jawbreaker in your mouth, or those little Cinnahots, you know, little heart things, you know. I mean, it's very, very, you know, cinnamony, you know, spicy kind of cinnamon. So I go, all right. So we made a drink. It's 2/3 eggnog. And Donna even made her own eggnog, you know. That's 2/3 eggnog and 1/3 of the cinnamon whiskey liqueur, whatever the heck it is, all right? It tastes kind of like a liqueur. They say it's whiskey, but it seems kind of thick. Anyway, so you put it in there, 2/3, 1/3. What do you call that? A fierier nug. So we got a fierier nug. So we're going to the party tonight. We're going to bring a bunch of this stuff. And we're going, this is good. I mean, that was a new one. So we're going to call it a fierier nug. We kept coming up with all kinds of different stuff, and that one kind of stuck. So I'm going, okay, we're going to, you know, that's my gift to you. A fierier nug. Go get the Fireball cinnamon whiskey. And if you can still find it, eggnog. But a lot of times you can make the eggnog yourself. Now, it's just, how did you make the eggnog? Well, how hard is that, Donna? What do you do?
I had to find a recipe that I could do right away because I didn't have time to cook anything. And I think it was just eggs and milk, nutmeg, and I don't know, there's something else in there, but I can't remember. Maybe sugar to make it sweet. And we just mixed it up really quick and then poured this whiskey in there. It was really nice.
You know, it wasn't the same strength. If you buy it at the store stuff kind of is thicker, like they added some thickening agent
to it. It is thicker, but I was looking at some other recipes where you have to cook it, and it calls for cream. So, I mean, I could just put cream in it instead of milk, or use half and half or something, but they say you want to not, you know, use something that cooks the eggs because of danger of salmonella and stuff, but you know what? I have farm fresh eggs. There's no salmonella here.
As far as we know, we are immune.
We're not sick.
Yeah, so it's I feel a lot more comfortable about our eggs, but it didn't used to be that way. Yeah, but they're natural, and they come out of the yard, and they're just, you know, and there's a chicken, and it ate good, and it didn't, and it came out, and it's a brown, and it's just ew until you have them, and then you get a store bought, or you see how they do the store bought ones, and they're a little cage and multi, you know, so you start feel a little bit more better about yours. And I tell you, when you be a big addict on your own chicken eggs is when you taste another one. After you got used to these and you do something else, it's not even in the same category. It doesn't have the egg taste. It's the yolk thing. That yolk is so much healthier. That's the taste of the egg. It's like, wow, this is, you know, when you say something tastes eggy, now it's like a good saying, as opposed to you go, nah, it tastes kind of eggy. Well, that's because you're used to something else. You can use the same word, eggy, as an adjective, depending on your reference, has two totally different meanings. When you got natural, like doing backyard eggs, all of a sudden it's like, yes, we get to do some of the eggs. That was one thing during Christmas. We have an egg shortage. We're sitting out there in the chicken coop. You know, people come over and they're sitting there. Well, get to laying, man. We hear them go, burr, burr, burr. You know, they start making noise when they're out there doing it. Got chick, 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 chickens. I mean, they're out there doing chick, 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 chickens. Oh, there's another egg. Okay, so when they do, we're sitting there waiting, and come on, let's go, boo, because everybody needed a dozen eggs. They're baking all kinds of stuff for cookies and cakes and pastry and all kind of crap. They wanted to get good eggs, man. They just put, we're cracking the whip. Get the laying, boy or girl, you know?
If I was something that small, I wouldn't want to lay eggs that size.
I am like, I'm like, damn, you know, that's, the diameter of that is, well, yeah, that's one thing, you know, they didn't improve on the shape of the egg. I mean, I don't know if you can get a lot better than it do what it does. All right. So we went ahead and got this made. You can make your own eggnog. I would probably think it needed cream to be as thick because it changes it. Because if it's not a thicker eggnog, it probably you would have more or less of it, you know, in the mix. But the one you go buy at the store and you get that cheap eggnog, then, well, I don't know, it's not cheap probably, but, you know, it's not the same. It's not as healthy. But you get, that is 2/3 to 1/3 of the cinnamon whiskey. You do that, and I'm like, it is a freaking sipping all night. You know, we went through one of these bottles, and probably half of it we went through in one night.
We?
Well, me and Barry, okay? But and you guys had some.
I think we had one little glass just to say we did, but that went from, I got you that for Christmas, and that bottle disappeared as of Friday. It was all gone. So, I mean, 2-3 days, you guys were...
And I had no idea this stuff was that good.
Feeling better.
I was just like, you know, and it's not, doesn't hit you hard. I mean, it's not, it's like 33%.
No,
you
it
know,
doesn't. It's nice. I don't know. Somebody gave that to us at a party one time. They had us just taste it, and it was really good. So I thought, well, we do our Secret Santa thing, and so I wanted to get Ernie something. So I got him this, and he really enjoyed it.
Tell him what I got you.
Nothing.
Yeah, see? I didn't break the rule. The rule is we don't get anything except for the Secret Santa. She broke the rule. So,
that's
who's,
okay.
So who's the bad guy?
I wasn't expecting anything.
Who's the bad guy? Yes, she got me.
Nobody's a bad guy. I did it because I wanted to.
No, see, you know how it is. I got it. But you know, I was nice, and we get, the big promise that I make for Donna is all these different things that we have to do and go to, and things we try and keep the weekends open and not, you know, schedule 5 gazillion projects and everything during November and December. So I tried to do my, that was my thing, is trying to open it up so that Donna, she had help to put stuff up and got the, you know, so we got to have a nice Christmas. It was kind of rushed. I mean, it was, you know, we compacted it, boom. Well, that was over. But, you know, the kids had a great time. They got all the goodies, and everybody got what they want. Oh, that's what I got. I got a convection oven. That was my Secret Santa gift from Sierra. And what we get for her? We got her some airline tickets and some luggage to go to a family thing in May. You know, so that, you know, make sure she can go. Yeah, nice Christmas.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's still December, so I can't. Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Yep, 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 yep. We didn't do the Happy New Year part. Okay, this is what I want to show you what we did. Last night, we just, you know, ran out of time. We had the dough in the refrigerator. We meant to do this with the kids, and it's just, you know, some was sick, this and that, and didn't, whatever. So this is what we did. We made, what do they call it? Ginger. Okay, wait. They, you have gingerbread men, and these are called...
Ninja bread men.
Yeah, ninja bread men, okay? So, you got... Here, I'll put it up so you can see. Oh, see, it's a ninja. Woo-hoo-hoo! And then you got, the fighting ninja. Ninja bread men, okay? And then, here's the other one, the flying kick. You know, ninja bread man. Oh, you know, the grandkids love that. I want a ninja bread man. They're going to think they're calling ninja bread man. You know, they don't know any different. Okay, so, and they're really good, too. This recipe, these are the best ninja bread, man, I've ever had. Because they're like gingerbread, but there was something else in it. I'm going, there's something else in there. What is it?
Oranges. I use some of our fresh oranges. I put some orange juice in it, and then it also Well, you do the zest, you know, where you scrape off the peel. So that there was like a whole bunch of that in there. So it gave us kind of an orangey flavor, orangey ginger. It's really good.
Mmm. It is from the orange zest. Now, zest, there you go. You know, orange zest and this zest and that zest, you know, and I'm wondering how many of you don't know what a zest is. You know, because I didn't until, I mean, not until recently, since, you know, we cook and whatever. It is the peel of a citrus thing. You know, it's like, you know, the peel of an orange. And you take and you get, oh, you get a bunch of the orange tape. Man, that's a potent, taste orangey. So you take an entire orange, I guess they assume, you know, fist size or whatever. You take an entire orange and you just scrape the peel off of it. You know, you get all the oils and the acid and stuff that's in there. That peel is what goes into the mix for this. So you can imagine it has a, you know, it's their taste. Like my mom would always do. She'd go, you know, make a meatloaf thing and she'd have onions in it. And I go, ew, I don't like onions. I like, they pick them out and everything. I don't like it. She goes, you can't taste them. I go, why you put them in there? So it tastes better. I mean, even as a kid, I'm like, right, okay. I call BS on that statement. So Donna also makes this new meatloaf. Have you put the meatloaf in the magazine before or anything? Or is that where you got it? Or where'd you get that from?
Internet, long time ago. I don't know. I can put it in the magazine. I could put the Ninja Bread cookie recipe in there, the fiery Ernog recipe.
Yeah.
We don't want it to be a recipe book, but I can put all that stuff in there.
Oh, because it's New Year's. Okay, put fiery Ernog right now on the front page.
On the front page.
So they can have it tonight.
Okay.
So this is what we're going to be drinking tonight. It's New Year's Eve. Fiery Ernog. You got time to go get it. Go get it. Man, you'd be the hit of the party. This is Fiery Ernog on freaking New Year's Eve. It's cool. It's a good add to a party, I'm telling you. It's not free, though. How much is this stuff?
$12-$13. It's not that much.
$12-$13. Mad Dog MD-2020. No, it's not. It's better now. Okay, so that probably would work good with eggnog, too. But this Fiery Ernog, you know, get the Fireball cinnamon. Donna got me this for, well, not this one. The other one's empty. She got me this for Christmas because to get me something just make me feel bad. Even though the deal is we don't get each other anything. We put it all in Kit Kat. We do Secret Santa stuff for years. But anyway, so I got some whiskey. So you do that, eggnog in this, Fiery Ernog. I'm telling you, it is awesome. It is perfect for sipping on, and you get some nice warm ease up on it, not get too wasted, too fast, too nothing, and you can start the diet tomorrow. Because definitely with the eggnog, I've been really happy. I haven't gained a lot of weight this season. Now, I probably gained, 5 pounds or something like that, whatever. Now go, when I just, do a Budwig one afternoon and that shall pass. But the thing is that I've been, I don't want to, blow up over the holiday. So I've been pretty good. Donna's been keeping Budwigs coming to my way and juices, so I'm all right. Now, you get the Fiery Ernog, it's just yummy. So I encourage you, go ahead and put it in the magazine. Go ahead and put it up on Freedom's Phoenix, too. Share New Year's Eve with us with your fiery urn or something like that. I don't know.
It'll be up there, but you got to turn off my mic so I can type without you hearing it.
There. Who says I didn't want to hear it? You type so prettily. Nope, too late. Mic's off. You can't talk. Okay, so we'll go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and go over. I'll tell you one of the things. There's a pal put up the 10 most amazing archaeological discoveries of 2013. So this is just stuff we find out about ourselves. It's just kind of, no little thing they don't have in the history books and probably won't be for decades. But we'll go over that in a little bit. But the predictions for 2014. Now, I encourage you guys, we don't have guests today. Donna and I are just going to hang and do this. It's 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. Now, Donna will be able to, get you on here and call, and we'll, get you on and get predictions. Predictions! I want predictions. I won't talk about anything, predictions, okay? Everybody wants to talk about whatever they want to do. Yeah, we're talking about, we got this guest doing this thing, doing that, and predictions. I got a lot. We get a lot of calls that just, hey, well, I want to talk about, it's not open line. We don't do that. Because, when you put in the archive, it's not just we're on. I mean, there's always a specific, you go there, there's something we're going to, predictions. All right, today, plus whatever else comes up. The future is going to be, I would say, it's going to be extremely interesting at the very least. But let's go ahead and go over what we had here from Stephen Lemon. And it's just kind of he did, you know, more detailed, but then it was just kind of, you know, he summed it up here in a brief summary. Expect 2014 to include, and we'll use him as a launching pad for a lot of stuff that we're doing. Direct and proxy wars continuing without end. New ones beginning. Now, that brings to mind this story. Don't let other countries declare war for America. This is out of Reason Magazine. The American people should know that pending right now in Congress is a bipartisan bill that would virtually commit the United States to go to war against Iran if Israel attacks the Islamic Republic. The bill outsources any decision about resort to military action to the government of Israel. Columbia University Iran expert Gary Sick wrote to Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York, in protest, one of the bill's principal sponsors. Oh, Chuckie Schumer, I'm so shocked. Okay. What it is that if Israel, they wanted to, hey man, if we go after Iran, we're going to bring your butt in and you're going to help America and you get to declare it in war, right? You know, this is like shocking to anybody. You know, we're just you know, I don't know, a state of the nation of Israel. I mean, you know, how does that work out? I'm wow. You know, this is, you know, nothing surprised me anymore. Okay. America's wealth increasingly transferred to corporate and privileged interests. Yep. Yeah, pretty much. That's what debt is. Ordinary people increasingly on their own, sink or swim, a race to the bottom continuing. Now, Stephen, his view on this is that, now, there is a role for government. It's to, whatever, make people's lives better. And that's a promise that they make in all these programs. I just know better. So I don't even want, I you know, they promise, you know, they're going to get the opposite. They always call, you know, it used to be the Department of War. It was called the War Department. Up into World War II and after, it was the War Department, War Department, War Department. And we were at more peace. I mean, at least that was kind of the goal. Now they call it, you know, the Department of Defense. Well, what does that mean? Opposite, Department of Offense. You know, it's always the opposite. They change the name. It's the opposite. It's just freaking Orwellian newspeak crap. You know, can you feel it? Then America's disadvantaged harmed the most. Well, poverty, unemployment, underemployment, hunger, homelessness, worse than ever in modern times. And bipartisan complicity assuring it. Well, hell, that's what Ron Paul was saying. He's going, man, it's going to get worse. It is. You better go to the Freedom Summit and find out how we're going to, you know, work our way out of this or avoid our way out of this or something. What's the plan? Got a plan? Freedom Summit 2014.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
James Babb, Davy Barker, John Bush, Catherine Bleich, John Buttrick, Tim Fry, Will Grigg, Charles Goyette, Anthony Gregory, Richard Grove, Ernest Hancock, Rosa Corey, Greg Peterson, Larkin Rose, Paul Rosenberg, Butler Schaefer, Frank Tamburi, Taryn Lupo, Mark Victor, Cody Wilson, all speakers at Freedom Summit 2014. Check it out, freedomsummit.com.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over.
So this is Christmas.
I tell you, but you know who didn't have a, you know who didn't have it very good. I tell you, you know who it was. It was the gingerbread man. You know, and these and they don't want to go in. They're like, no, I can't. Oh, they can't. Oh, but then, some of them, they just fit in really good. And then, oh, you dip them in the coffee. They're so good. You know, my grandkids probably shouldn't watch it. man, that orange desk there. Oh, and then the kicking ninja one. Can he go in? Yes! Oh, we get a knee in there. He's like, oh, no, help me, Mr. Bill. Oh, you know, that's one thing we did. That's one thing that we did with the kids. As we made sure that, go ahead and flip it over. You can zoom it out a little bit. What we did with the kids is, we have the cookies and we dip them. We do kind of not too much sugar. We're trying not to do that. But the dipping of gingerbread. Not the ninja man to fight back. You know, so yeah, we've had a lot of fun with it. I love grandkids, man. That is the coolest of the cool. Well, last night. You know, we didn't, because it's magazine week, so we don't do a lot of, war is over. There's that campaign right there. Okay. What we did is, usually on magazine week, because we're so busy, we usually watch them on Mondays. That's why we do reruns on Mondays when you do the grandkid thing. Well, what happened was, when we do the magazine, and there was just no time, especially this week, you know, so we just got, you know what, we're not going to stress it. And everybody, you know, there's more stuff coming up. We need have a lot of plans and things. If we wait, you know, another week or even 4 or 5 days, we can include a whole bunch of the stuff, you know, that we're doing, you know, like the meetup thing for the Freedom Summit and all this other stuff that we're doing. Oh, did you plug in the air conditioner? Yes. Yeah. It's freaking hot. You know, that's one thing. Christmas Day was pretty hot, wasn't it? It was like in the 70s or something. Everybody's like freezing. We're like, oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. We got to go, you know, eat outside. It's hot. You know, you do a fire, better wait till the sun goes down, because damn, that's Phoenix. Get over it. So now the kids, we had them over last night. You know, we were working all day doing stuff, getting, you know, the Alma and Gina over, and we're working on lots of stuff. So we're going to go ahead, and this week, I need to communicate with a lot of our, at the end of the year, I need to communicate with a lot of our contributors and supporters and all that kind of stuff. That's my article. Instead of rushing it, we'll go ahead and do, because there's a lot of things that we're working on this week that will be part of that article and so on. If we wait a little bit, you'll get more details. We'll have to wait a month, you know, so it all works out. We'll do it. Get over it. Now, Saturday, we're going to have the Breakfast Club. We're still working on the location. I got to nail that down today. I've got a lot of feelers out. Hopefully, I get a confirmation today, because where we've been doing it before is not really working out. They don't do a buffet, and you got the waitress bugging you all the time in the nice room and everything, but it just doesn't work out for videotaping. So we're going to go ahead and try to go back to one of the places we used to have years ago under new management that probably, you know, we can work out a deal, and I'll get confirmation on that today. But Dave Hodges, Common Sense Show, he's a writer on Freedom's Phoenix quite a bit, has his own thing. You start to see him a lot all over the net and on Lou Rockwell, because, I mean, people are into this, you know, New World Order, here they're coming, kind of whatever. I'm like, duh. That's just a side effect of, you know, something much larger. You know, are you, I can't really be supportive. He's a good guy, absolutely right on a lot of stuff. I got Stephen Lemon from the left right on a lot of stuff. I got a lot of guys like Dave Hodges on the right, you know, right about a lot of stuff. But it's a little bit different. You know, we're being ruled wrong as opposed to being ruled is wrong. You know, there's a difference there. The Constitution says we should be ruled correctly. And I'm going, well, there's your problem right there. There is no correctly being ruled. I mean, you know, and the promise they make, by for of kind of thing, one, that's not even really in there. But, you know, so I'm going, all right, That was Gettysburg Address deal. Buy four of. Yeah, that was his opinion. With a gun. So we're going to go ahead and have Dave Hodges at the Breakfast Club this Saturday. And we'll do it one way or another. But I'm hoping I can get a better location today, and we'll emphasize that. And I'd like to include that. Normally we publish the Friday before, and I think a lot of predictions and stuff's going to be in that. And I want to include that video and article and whatever on that for this back. So that's another good reason to hold off a couple days. So we had the kids come over last night. We had the gingerbread dough that's been in the refrigerator. We just didn't get to that. It's one of the five gazillion things that we didn't get to, and probably pretty much everything we got to do except that. So Donna's like, I got to make this. We got to get rid of this or throw it away or something. So I go, let's make it. So she's in there making it and doing, and I'm dabbing the flour off of it with my little napkin thing, making it all party. And then we get a call from my son, Corsair, and he says his wife was gone, and he goes, hey, man, I need to go get this free thing, Craigslist. Can you watch the kids for a little bit? Just an hour or so. I got to run Tempe. We're like, yes, we're making the cookies. We want to do it with them. Get their butt over here. Come on. Yay, we're cookie making. We go in there. We make the cookies and so on. Had a good time. Play a little Angry Birds, because little Corsair's got to play Angry Birds. So we do that. And he comes over, and we hang out for a little bit, and they leave. All worked out. Got to do the gingerbread thing. But what did he go get? On Craigslist, he's a pilot. He's 25, got his pilot's license, has like a fifth of a plane that he go and travel and everything. He's got his cool gazillion-dollar headset and all that kind of stuff. But when he goes out, he needs, for other people to have these headsets, because it's real loud, you can't hear or talk. And if he's not borrowing someone else's, you just need to get earplugs. So he goes, well, I need to, and he went on looking for, pilot, headset, voice activated, the things that they have. And there's a guy, he goes, retiring pilot, don't have any need for this stuff. I have four of them, giving them away for free, one at a time, one per customer. The first people that go by, you get it. Three of them had already been done. He put it up this morning, went up there, ooh, you got any left? I got one left, first one here wins. So he dropped them off, zoom, he goes out there, comes back. Man, these things are hundreds of dollars. It was an older one, but it was in great shape. For free. You got to love Craigslist, man. It was a nice hat. The guy, goes up, open the door. Guy says, here you go. Peace out. Boom, close the door. Done, comes up. Spends the rest of the evening with us, gets his free headgear, $100 saved free. Internet, man. Are they going to make these kinds of things, these transactions? Was that, who would pay taxes on that? Who gained value? Does the other guy get to write it off? Was it a charitable, you had a, stroke, 50-something-whatever form? Probably not. But the guy got it. You gained some value. That's a capital gain on the planet or something. How you going to pay? How we get our cut of that? You think I'm kidding? One of my predictions. There will be transfer of any kind of wealth. There will be a line somewhere you must declare. And we have a friend, they didn't declare, five guys beat the crap out of them at a port of entry when they got off their cruise ship because they didn't declare some of the stuff. He goes, well, if the foreman kind of filling out and the guy, and he didn't lick enough boot, and all of a sudden, boom, he's on the ground. Five guys jump, beat the crap out of him. 2 days in solitary confinement. With his family on the sidewalk, wife standing there watching, and here's a guy that knows better. He's like, there was no aggressive, but that doesn't stop them. Their story, they find out, that he's an attorney. Whoa. And he injured, he hurt his knee. One of the security, that's assault and, battery, felony on a federal, whatever, going away forever kind of man. Now, this is serious. So we're going to get to play with that one. So this is, this is coming. It's going to be more of that. It's going to be double standard. They, them, those. Compliance is the goal. It's not peace officers. It's law enforcement. It is going to get much worse. What will be the ramification of that? Something that they didn't see coming. I don't think they understood the importance of this jury nullification thing. It is a concept. It is a philosophy. It's a rubber meets the road thing. We're really going to get behind this and use all our resources and kind of direct a little bit of effort on this, because a little bit of effort now, a good hard push right now, is going to have a much larger impact on all of our lives later. It already has from us doing it years before. So we're going to go ahead and push on that. You know, this jury nullification thing. Because when they bring you before the king, do we get to have a say? Well, they're going to do what? More efforts to make sure you don't get brought before the king. You just get renditioned.
A harrowing situation on Broad Street came to its conclusion Thursday night as a group of hostages were freed from local comedy club The Laugh Up Lounge after a tense 7-minute stand-up set.
Every once in a while, he'd grab his notebook, and I'd think maybe this is it. Maybe he's gonna let us go, but he just kept talking.
Additionally, The Onion recovered this video footage from the cell phone of one of the many captives.
Please,
if someone sees this, help us. Please help
us.
Yeah,
micromanagement.
This is totally gonna wang it up.
Oh my god. Oh my god, no.
Cool.
I'm not a religious person, but at one point I said the Lord's Prayer, and it actually had a calming effect. Like, Jesus was standing next to me and said, "You're gonna get through this."
I mean, sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, don't take life for granted, because you just never know when something like this could happen. So,
this is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to the Clare, your independence of Mayor to Hancock here on Christmas Eve. Oh, I'm sorry. New Year's Eve. In it after Christmas. Okay. So we're still celebrating the season, the Christmas season, you know, or holiday season, whatever. You know, it's all you got to say, Christmas, the word Christmas, just to be a rebel anymore. I mean, you're not, you know, ooh, he's a rebel, he said Christmas. I mean, you know, Jon Stewart and, you know, Stephen Colbert is kind of, you know, putting the tip of the spear on that one. I wonder how the progressives feel about that. All right, here's the damn ninja bread man. Ninja! But these are, you know, they're all met their demise. I kicked their butt by dipping them in my coffee. Okay. Now, what I want to go over is some of the articles and stuff that we have. Whoops, where's I had it? Right here. Now, the one thing that Stephen Lindman made a point about, I'll just go through these real quick, and we'll just make a comment, because a lot of this is stuff I wanted to talk about anyway, is that America's disadvantaged will be harmed most. Now, this is something that Ron Paul was saying. You know, freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? Oh, and one thing, it's Karen DeCosta on Lou Rockwell this weekend, we put it up. She was talking about the resurrection of Detroit. And I keep making this point. Where do you think Phoenix, Freedom's Phoenix, will rise? Where would that come from? The ashes. And where are there the most ashes? Detroit. When you got police and fire and they're in government and kind of, you know, they unsnip the ribbon. Yep, nope, it's not open. You know, we're not going here. You know, sucks to be y'all. And you have a bunch of vacant buildings. People going, you know what? Well, if you're not coming in and you've abandoned this, well, it's ours now. We're going to go do whatever and screw you. And they'll go, oh, wow, you're being successful. And it's like green and you're growing stuff. And there's like people making money and stuff and everything ought to be a law. And they'll come in, they'll do whatever. Well, fortunately, people are either doing it or they're going, all right, fine, whatever you want to go and do, you know, be gone until you become successful, and then here comes the man. So it's going to, you're going to see a resurrection wherever government is not. Wherever they're not there is where things, where they're not. That's what the Jackalope Freedom Festival is about up in the mountains here in northern Arizona. We're going into our third year, and we go up, Alma's coming. She's like, I got plans for this. That's it. You got plans. I'm telling you, this is how you got in trouble last time. You know, your plans better be they ain't planned. You know, it's kind of they're free, too. You know, you're free to do whatever you want, including this and that and that and this. And to be polite, you might want to, you know, whatever, but no plans. The second you start doing that, they go, oh, I see you have a plan. Well, you got to get a permit for a plan. You got a plan? There is no central plan for freedom. And this is the emphasis I keep trying to put on that. This is exactly how you get in trouble when you have too much plan. Okay? Just my input, you know, like, you know, 6-7 months from this happened, I'm going, you know, here we go. We're going to get to say, Neon, I freaking told you so again, you know, and we'll see what happens. So anyway, no plans. So Detroit is going to be coming out. That's one of the predictions that I make. That's why I go, you know, Detroit. You're going to see a whole bunch of entrepreneurism in the middle of the freaking snow. The spring will hit. There'll be all kinds of emphasis and shows and put on. Look what they're doing when the government's out of the way and the entrepreneurship and people better their lives and they got and it's prettier and, you know, kind of nice and colors and everything and innovate and people and, you know, lofts and artists will move there and they start cohabitating in a big giant floor of this vacant building and creating great works of art and business and kind of job. And here comes the man. So I'm just, can we eliminate the man? You know, and then we have that. Even Detroit will come out of this. I remember in downtown Phoenix, this was in probably mid-90s. There was, it was before the baseball stadium. Okay, I'll give you that. When they did the Bank One Ballpark, which now Chase Ballpark, whichever bank owns it, you know, the name, something, that's where the Diamondbacks play. Beautiful stadium. I mean, it was the best $300-something million back in the day, you know, taxpayer money can buy. I mean, they did it up. And it said, oh, they weren't shy about it either. Well, it's a, you know, lawsuit back and forth, and I, you know, it's a long story. But what happened was, before that, and you had the downtowns kind of decaying. It's just, you know, it wasn't doing what they wanted. They got to pass laws and regulation and zoning and spending taxpayer money. Initiatives were passed where you can't spend taxpayer monies to do the kind of stuff that they didn't. And they called it something else and did money, kind of just corruption. Well, during that time, a lot of the vacant buildings that were there, they were occupied by artists. You know, they would have, you know, wasn't worth anything. So they either bought them on the cheap or the land, the people that did own it under a certain condition, they just leased the whole thing out and it be kind of an art gallery or a communal kind of do whatever you want thing. It was very successful. It was cheap property. People were, had big loss. A lot of artists got going there. There's, you know, the first Fridays, and it was, you know, festivals, and it was a lot of fun. And they showed that you could have some return of vibrance to downtown Phoenix. Well, God, man, if you're doing something good, what do you got to do? You got to control it. You got to regulate it. You got to get inside the system. So what did they do? They come in and they go, oh, it's called the Roosevelt Redevelopment Project. We're going to fix these houses. We're going to do this under these conditions to go to these people. Well, this government subsidized program that only they and they know the, where the form is and the fill out and we got and here we go. Then they started taking, condemning different properties that these were on or refurbing them or doing them in the condos that they would sell or they're zoning different things. And they started building high density, apartment buildings and stuff down there and forcing this revitalization of downtown Phoenix because the sports stadiums. They created the arena, the America West Arena, which is now for the Suns, the baseball stadium, the Dodge Theater, which is some, you know, cultural whatever, Orpheum, which is an old theater that was there for, you know, decades. I mean, God, like a century ago that they redid for, you know, having the symphony and different things. And the Phoenix Symphony Hall there. And you got the Phoenix Civic. I mean, it's, all this development went downtown and all the developers and the bars and all the stuff that came up around that was all subsidized to artificially create a community in downtown Phoenix that the man benefited from. And it's dying. It loses money. It costs so much that you have to keep subsidizing and subsidizing. They did this with Glendale. They got the football stadium, and the city of Glendale is like bankrupt. They had to pay $40-something million to keep the hockey team here, the Phoenix Coyotes. You know, that was part of their deal. You build us an arena, we'll stay here for X amount of time, and if we don't make money, do this kind of subsidized and made up for, and you don't get, and we don't make, and you get, and taxpayers give us money to the tune of gazillions of dollars. And they had to. And that was the deal they made. Now, we bitched about it. We knew it was going to happen. So what's my next prediction? Big, giant, government-subsidized building. I mean, it's going to be the loop of the maglev train kind of stuff, light rail stuff. No matter how unprofitable it is, no matter how much cheaper it is just to buy everybody that rides it a freaking car, literally, you could buy them an economy car, each person that rides it, cheaper than building it. But that's not the point. It's to spend money, government money, and cuts. Why? Because they can. This is that economic hitman thing. You know, John Perkins. Oh, did you try and get hold of John Perkins?
Yes, no? he will be on next week sometime. I don't remember what day. I think Wednesday.
Oh, okay, cool. We're going to have John Perkins on. That's good. Okay, I should know these things. So we have John Perkins coming on, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, where around the world, they did exactly this. Whole entire countries, infrastructure, they build them, airports and freeway systems and docks and ports and piers and whatever, so they can get their oil or whatever natural resource, kind of trade-off thing. Get them indebted and that the people owe. Well, they just took that exact model and they did it to every single community in this country. And it's going to get a lot worse real fast. Freedom Summit 2014 will be held in Phoenix, Arizona from Friday, February 14th through Sunday, February 16th at the Sheraton Crescent Resort. Details at freedomsummit.com. The Freedom Summit, where the great minds of the modern freedom movement come together. Since 2001, the Freedom Summit has annually featured the best and the brightest minds detailing our current status of freedom. The Freedom Summit has featured many of the rising stars of the Liberty Movement before they were proven right. Our list of speakers are now well known to the Liberty Movement, and they accurately predicted what is now common knowledge to many of us. But now what? The 2014 Freedom Summit has been crafted to provide a glimpse of the future and how best to position yourself and your loved ones as we transition away from authoritarianism to a voluntarist society. We are now preparing for what comes next. Don't be surprised. Be informed, entertained, and network with Generation Next, the inheritors of the future that are already creating the infrastructure of tomorrow. Learn more at freedomsummit.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Season, as far as I'm concerned, at least until we get done partying with our pretty dresses and whatever and stuff, and fiery or nug tonight. Okay. Now, what I wanted to go over, let's do the 10 most amazing archaeological things. You know, pal put this up. I thought this was cool. All right. Here we go. The 10 most amazing archaeological discoveries of 2013, and I'll just go over the headlines real quick. Complete remains of 2,500-year-old chariot and two horses found in Bulgaria. Archaeologists uncovered the incredible remains of a complete Thracian carriage and two horses that appear to have been buried upright. The horses and carriage were found in a Thracian tomb along with other artifacts in the village of Sevastari in northeast Bulgaria. The carriage, complete with two wheels, seat, and boot, had been dated 2,500 years old and thought to have belonged to nobility, blah, blah, blah. That would be very interesting. I'm sure there's an entire National Geographic that will be done on that. Archaeologist number 9. Archaeologists discover the guardians of the gates of hell. In March of this year, a group of archaeologists in Turkey made a spectacular discovery. The gate to hell, also known as Pluto's Gate, which was known in Greco-Roman mythology and tradition as the portal to the underworld. Now archaeologists discovered that and so on. Another special on National Geographic. Number 8. Ancient, and I'm not reading the whole thing, but you get the idea. Ancient philosophical writings found hidden beneath medieval text. Okay. Now what they did is they used multispectral imaging, and they were able to recover the original text. You know, that, and what they were talking about, a lot of it was ancient commentary on Aristotle and, you know, other stuff. You know, but the main thing that of interest here is that books in the form of paper bound together were so valuable and paper and so rare. That's why you had. Now, I got to tell you this story. This is inside, so you'll understand from our cultural beginnings of this. There was an IBM advertising campaign in the 70s that had, when they first started coming out with Xerox machines, okay? Or Xerox, not IBM, Xerox. Xerox came out with all these copy machines, and who was their spokesperson? It was a friar, a monk. Now, why would they have a monk sitting there talking about a copyright? And it's like a divine God thing. Because monks, scribes, what they would do in all these flowery books, you know, they had all these illustrations around the borders and everything, and then they had texts that they would write. That's how you made a book. You would copy other books or other texts and put it in one book. So they would sit there, and you wanted the book, and these monasteries, they're great libraries, you know, and they protect them against whatever, and that was, you know, a treasure trove of. So when a king went in and got, going to get the knowledge of, or they'd burn it. So books were very valuable, just even for the paper. So what they do, if they got something they want to do or say, they would bleach the paper. They would, you know, try and get the images off and then write over it. Or you start looking at a lot of these old books and you start to see there's an entire whole other book underneath the ink of that book. So how do you get that? Well, you know, with different technologies and X-rays and this ray and that, you know, gizmo gadget, Star Trek, whatever the heck, you can find the text underneath. In fact, they find a lot of stuff in the margins or in the binding. If you unbound and you see, there's a whole bunch more text hidden in there that somebody kind of put in there for future generations of. Okay. So they're starting now with technology. They're finding a whole nother treasure trove of recorded knowledge that's underneath all of the other stuff. A lot of times, the information that was there was scientific or observations or the secret handbook of the Egyptian papyrus or whatever the heck, you know, of how secret handshake, we rule you, Illuminati, Lord knows what, and what happened. You had the conquerings and so on. They have all these books, and they went and they bleached the paper, give it to a monk, and they started putting some religious script or something in there. And they, two things. One, they got a good resource to be writing their stuff on, and two, they did away with whatever history was there before, but now we get to find it. All right, so that's what that's about. Archaeologists may have found the tomb of the god king, King Antiochus I, who cares, it's a king, ruler of Kamangjin from 70 BC to 36 BC, an ancient Armenian kingdom, was a most unusual king. He claimed descendant from Greek conqueror Alexander the Great on his mother's side and from the Persian king Darius the Great on his father's side. All right. So he's like, I'm the king of the, you know, and the god king. You know, this is, you know, it's known in myth or history as the god. Well, they found, you know, his whatever. So I'm going, all right. And it's just a good example of the victors gets to write the history. He goes, yeah, I'm a descendant of this on my mom's side, my dad's side. And, you know, and I pulled Excalibur from a rock and I'm your ruler now. Oh, yeah. And I got all these guys with, you know, like guns and stuff. What do? They have to have legitimacy. So it's not that they're good or supported by the people or whatever. Okay, I'll give you an example. In Braveheart, where William Wallace goes and he kills the guy that killed his wife, you know, in the beginning when the rebellion started, they slit his wife's throat. He goes, all right, they attacked the little fortress there, drug the guy out, put him up there. He didn't waste any time, slit his throat, done. Then one guy starts, McCulloch! McCulloch! They all started, you know, some guy started, you know, chanting, McCulloch! And then all of a sudden, the other people started chanting, Wallace! 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 Now, what were they doing? They knew that, here we go. Now, the battle, who's going to lead us? Well, one of the guys, you know, was saying his name, McCulloch, you know, we'll do it. You know, and they go, yeah, okay, you. And then everybody starts, nah. You know, the crowd was overwhelmingly in support of Wallace. Wallace! Wallace! Who picked them? The people did. They're like, okay, we're going to, you know, the other guys could have said, all right, well, we're just going to go off on our own. They go, well, okay, we're probably better off here. It doesn't suck. We say we're going to, you know, we'll follow this and let's go kick butt. Then the next clan comes in. They start jogging in. They go, hey, it's already too late for us. We're in this thing. Go back to your homes. You know, they go, hey, they're going to come for us too. And you know they will. So we're Wallace. You know, they kind of came together. That's where, you know, people, and it's open and kind of done. I'm going to go kill and die. They better be for, you know, myself or something. What I get to decide. Okay, that's cool. As opposed to Longshanks starving out your family. And they made that point in the movie. The reason people go die, you know, fight for me and everything, because I'll throw them off the land. I'll, you know, homeless their family and children and kind of rape women and whatever the heck. Okay? They do it out of force. This was a decision. So when they come up and he said, they got to give some kind of rational. The Pope, you know, patted me on the shoulder. You know, somebody, you know, said I some justification or something. I got voted in. You know, Chancellor. Okay. Just bring that up. Amazing discovery reveals how China's forbidden city was built. Oh, this is neon flash and obvious stuff. When we come back, I'll tell you how they did these big, giant 330-ton stones over 70 kilometers. 330-ton stones they moved. 70 kilos. And the Chinese are real good about keeping records. They said, let me tell you how we did it. So it's all this kind of, you know, alien spaceship, whatever kind of. No, I'll tell you how we did it. This is how we did it. And I'll tell you how they did it when we come back.
Imagine someone in your community getting in their car, turning on the radio, and hearing the Liberty Radio Network. You can make that vision a reality with your own micro radio station. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how you can put our programs on the air in your area. You can have lrn.fm running around the clock, and you can even add in your own local shows. Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where lrn.fm comes in. Learn more at broadcast.lrn.fm. That's broadcast.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Headbanging Christmas music! Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We're still celebrating some holidays, you know, because we can't. Okay, now let's go ahead and go back to the amazing discovery reveals how China's forbidden city was built. How was that done? All right, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line, this. Vast numbers of huge stones were mined and transported there for its construction, like 70 kilometers away, 330-ton stones, okay? The heaviest of which weighed more than 220 tons and would have weighed more than 330 tons before they fragmented. The ancient text revealed that the giant stones were slid from a quarry 70 kilometers away on specially constructed sledges dragged over slippery paths of wet ice by a team of men over 28 days. Excuse me. The workers dug wells every 500 meters to get water to pour on the ice to lubricate it, which made it easy to slide the rocks. I mean, you know, how simple is this? Excuse me. And even in some places in Arizona, you get big, giant stones that you get already, and you just, it's cold enough certain months of the year in certain places for certain times of the day. Well, yeah, boom, I throw some water on it. You know, imagine black ice, slick road on the highway. You know, I don't know. How many guys would it take to move some big rocks on that? And I'm going, it's ice. Did it ever cross anybody's mind, yeah, ice? Heck, even Egypt 4,000 or 5,000 years ago could have been freaking ice in the winter months. Heck, there's ice here in Phoenix. You know, they just wait. You know what? We just got them all piled up here. We wait for us to get some cold kind of, ooh, tonight's the night. You know, put all the water on the kind of the, get it, and then start slidding. See my point? You know, do you think, what? You know, they couldn't do the moving in the 28 days of the month of February or January or whatever area. You know, let's go. Here we go. All right. Pretty easy, seems to me. Extensive ancient underground network discovered across Europe. Archaeologists uncovered thousands of Stone Age underground tunnels stretching across Europe. perplexing researchers as to their original purpose. I don't know, because they can, you know, secure, good storage, good place to hide, put your stuff, something. German archaeologist Dr. Henrik Kusch, in his book Secrets of the Underground Door to an Ancient World, revealed that tunnels were dug under literally hundreds of Neolithic settlements all over Europe, and the fact that so many tunnels have survived 12,000 years indicates that the original network must have been huge. Across Europe, there were thousands of them, from the north in Scotland down to the Mediterranean. The tunnels are quite small, measuring only 70 centimeters in width, which is just enough for a person to crawl through. In some places, there are small rooms, storage chambers, and seating areas. The discovery of a vast network of tunnels indicates that Stone Age humans were being bombarded by the aliens. No, were not just spending their days hunting and gathering. However, the real purpose of the tunnels is still a matter of speculation. Some experts believe that they're a way of protecting man from predators, while others believe travel safely, sheltered, harsh weather. I can think of a gazillion reasons, okay? But, hey, you know, you get enough food and you got nothing else to do, you'd be building yourself a tunnel that lasts 12,000 years. So what makes you think that the continuation of government people don't have a big, extensive tunnel system? I would be shocked if they didn't. Okay. 1600-year-old goblet shows Romans used nanotechnology. All right, you know, I skipped to the end on this. They impregnated the glass with particles of silver and gold, ground down until they were as small as 50 nanometers in diameter. That's pretty damn small. Less than 1,000th the size of a grain of table salt. The exact mixture of the previous metal suggests that the Romans had perfected the use of nanoparticles. Now it seems that the super-sensitive technology used by the Romans might help diagnose human disease or pinpoint biohazards at security checkpoints, blah, blah, blah. Okay, this is what they did. You ever hear the phrase, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth? Well, you know, of course it meant you had a silver spoon, but the children, you had these silver spoons, and even now. Now it's, you know, what they do with a spoon, they cover it in a toxic plastic so you don't break your teeth on it. You know, it's kind of, here, every bite, put this plastic in your mouth. And I'm going, yeah, I think I'd rather have the silver. Why? Because it's antimicrobial. Microbial. Yeah, whatever. It's an antibiotic. So you have a silver, you know, protect, you use silverware. People, I guess, that had enough money to have silverware, they were healthier. Because like the colloidal silver effect in their body. Well, Romans knew this. So you start putting different, you know, silver and gold in the glass, you know, but it had another thing. If you held it, you know, it had the silver and gold in different parts of it. If you turned it and held it up to the light, depending on what was in it, it would change color. The goblet itself was glass impregnated with these different metals. You could put stuff in it and you could see what was in it. You know, was it poison or not? Did it have this trait or that? Did it have, you know, you put your urine in it, your blood, your whatever. Different ways the light went through with the silver and gold, give it as a diagnostic tool. It was their, you know, security checkpoint liquid checker. You know, it was their x-ray machine. There's all kinds of stuff they use this for. You know, it's just, you know, humans are pretty freaking smart. You know, it's the same brain, you know, we've had for a long. It's just, you know, accumulation of knowledge, internet kind of thing makes us all smarter. And now we know how to do goblet checking. Laser technology revealed surprising new features of Angkor. Now, Angkor is the Cambodian, the ancient Khmer Empire capital was much larger than previously thought. Now, it used to be that they thought it was like, you know, 9 square kilometers. Now it's like 35 square kilometers. And they took later and they put it and go, ooh, man, they had this all mapped out. It was really thought out. The streets ran in a grid exactly east, west, or north, south. Each city block was measured exactly 100 meters by 100 meters. And I guess a yard is a common thing. It's a stride of a human, and they kind of figured, okay, it's about 3 feet. It's a meter. Okay, it's a yard. So I guess that's a common whatever. So you have 100 meters by 100 meters with 4 dwellings and 4 rectangular ponds. Each pond located northeast of each dwelling. The dwellings elevated on earthen mounds were higher than surrounding rice fields, presumably so they wouldn't flood during the rainy season. The roads are likewise elevated. Other particular findings include a series of features which appear to be embankments, but layered out in a spiral pattern. As a stage, unclear exactly what they're used for, blah, blah, blah. It's interesting. Incredible discovery reveals birthplace of Buddha. Oh, you know there's going to be a UNESCO World Heritage Site here. Here comes the man. They'll take whatever. So Buddha origin, that would be interesting. You should go look at this article on Freedom's Phoenix. And the number one mystery of King Tutankhamun's death, solved after more than 3,000 years. The young child king, you know, they said, I guess they're coming out where they said, remarkable new analysis revealed substantial evidence that suggests that the pharaoh died after being thrown off a pyramid. Oh, well, wait a minute. That's not what it says. Oh, by being struck by a speeding chariot. Kind of looks the same. And that a hastily embalming process caused his mummified body to spontaneously combust in his sarcophagus. Tests revealed that Tutankhamun's flesh had been burnt with chemicals. Chemical tests revealed that this occurred while he was sealed inside the coffin. Researchers discovered that embalming oils combined with oxygen and linen caused a chemical reaction which cooked the king's body at temperatures of more than 200 degrees Celsius. Damn, that's over boiling. It cooked him. Dr. Chris Naunton said the charring and possibility that a botched mummification led to the body spontaneously combusting shortly after burial was entirely unexpected, something of a revelation. So they think he was killed by, you know, a trauma to the body, got run over by chariots or whatever, and, you know, it was a drive-by, you know, charity. So then, okay. So that's interesting. Now, when we come back, I want to go over Dave Hodges' revelations of what he thinks may be coming, and here we go, and the role Obamacare is going to play in, so we can do some predictions on that one, too. That'll be interesting when we come back.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay, we're right back. I want to get to this. Let's take a look at Mr. Dave Hodges' Common Sense Show. He does, and he writes. He's just really come into his own over the years. I've known Dave, you know, since before. And, excuse me, he is really, man, here it comes. I agree. You know, and people want to document, you know, here it comes, but then what? Yeah, you know, I'm... Yeah, I mean, how bad does it have to get? Goes, no. I feel much better telling you it's a lot worse than you thought. It's really bad. And I'm going, on one bad, you should have been doing a bunch of other stuff. Okay, now what? I mean, okay, now what? Freedom Summit 2014. I'm telling you. You know, this is, I got to emphasize this. In 2001, we started doing the Freedom Summits. When was it? It was 3 weeks after 9/11, and we almost canceled because a lot of people were canceling airlines. People were like, not nervous. We're going to lose money on it. We're not. And I said, you know, no, let's go ahead and do it. And we still had a great summit. And it was because I see what's coming. We already knew all this stuff was on the shelf. Patriot Act was just a big giant, blew the dust off of it, and kind of we rename it, and here we go. We rule you. During the Clinton administration, there was a lot of this stuff, all that midnight basketball stuff. It was the terrorist, we're going to get you act of whatever the heck. After Oklahoma City bombing and all that kind of stuff. You know, Waco. I mean, here we go. There was a, you know, attack on guns and malicious stuff. I mean, this never stopped. You know, first it was Handgun Control Incorporated. You know, you had the guys going after, you know, President Reagan got shot, and Brady, that's where the Brady bill came from. Brady was one of his cabinet members or something that, you know, had brain damage from getting hit in the head. His wife is the one that took that on. So you have the NRA and Handgun Control Incorporated, just two sides of the same coin. We profit from there being discussion and talk and send and who's on which side of the gun control debate. So that's why the NRA didn't want this, you know, adjudicated and taken to the Supreme Court, like D.C. versus Heller. And we were like going, oh, hell yeah, I need them to say it! Say it! I don't care what they say, I just want them to say it. Now, does the Constitution apply or not? I mean, is that dead letter? I mean, heck, that's your opinion. Okay, fine. Then say it. Let's get rock on. Well, they go, no, it's an individual right, but we can regulate it out of existence anyway. I mean, it's just like, seriously, I break with thee, all right? Now, this gun control thing is going to keep coming. That's my nether prediction. There is going to be continued. I don't think it's working for them, though. A lot of people, no matter what happens, freedom's the answer. What's the question? If somebody else had a gun there, you know, problem solved, because bad guys don't give a crap what your law says. Well, then, oh, we need, you know, metal detectors at every high school. We got to have, you know, and they're coming into your, getting closer and closer and closer and closer into your home. Heck, they're there. And that's one of the points that he wants to make here, Dave Hodges. Under executive order 13603, it is clear that the president can proclaim in times of emergency or non-emergency that he controls all industry, transportation, food and water, as well as all energy. Who could ever forget President Manchurian, he keeps calling President Manchurian, as he told small business owners, you did not build that business. Obama, this is kind of like the notion that you did not build your political career. The CIA and Ford Foundation did. In a stunning proclamation, the same executive order clearly states that the president, through the Secretary of Labor, owns our very lives and we are, in effect, literal slaves. Now they own our children. As of January 1, 2014, tomorrow, the bad guys will come out tomorrow. Okay. You are no longer the sovereign authority over your children. The officials from Obamacare are, you know, HHS and CPS, Child Protective Service and Health and Human Services, whatever. It's the department of they rule you. According to Health Human Services, on behalf of Obamacare, your family is eligible for a Soviet-type family intervention in the following situations. Families where mom is not yet 21. Families where someone is a tobacco user. Families where children have low student achievement, developmental delays, or disabilities according to they, them, those. Families with individuals who are serving or formerly served in the armed forces, including such families that have members of armed forces who have had multiple deployments outside the United States. Wow. Man, they're just saying all these veterans, man, they're probably, they want them to die over there or something. I mean, tack on, man. Damn. Although this is not being widely reported, homeschoolers and their families will be targeted for interventions, as will the families who object to having their children take vaccines. Okay. How many of you were ever grounded by your parents and not permitted to play outside with your friends? This is now illegal under the policy manual of departments of. They label the treatment as neglect by isolation. There are not time frames set forth which constitutes isolation and is left to the field representative. This obviously erodes parental discipline. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I mean, and then, all right, and here's a category you put in, sticker shock. Has the corporate-controlled media bothered to tell you what will be happening to your pocketbook in 2014? Yeah. They told us we need to buy 10 self-gifts. If you're not going to buy anything for anybody else enough, you know, if everybody bought themselves on their self 10 gifts, well, heck, their problem, you know, GDP is all fixed, man. Okay, income tax rates goes up from 35% to 39%. Capital gains tax goes up from 15% to 28%. Dividends tax goes up from 15% to 39.6%. Income payroll tax goes up from 37.4% to 52.2%. Inheritance tax goes up from 0%. This is the death tax I keep talking about. From 0% to 55% on every single possession acquired from an estate. Remember, this estate has been repeatedly taxed through the years. This is nothing but pure theft brought to you by you know, President Manchurian, you know, it's he's just a figurehead. I, you know, you get see, I hate when they do this. You know, Dave and I disagree on that. You take away this particular president, what are you left with? The same freaking thing. You can't blame it on one person. It's just representative of a thing. You know, this that's what we'll talk about. On behalf of his globalist handlers, and of course, half of the country is still in some form of welfare you're paying for, and then the debt is $17 trillion and on and on. Unanswered questions. You know, where's all the money going to come from? How in the money and the money? I am, you know, this is where I think we go down, you know, this is the prediction that I make out of an optimistic view. That people, much larger segments, will see government itself, the idea, as the problem, as being ruled as the problem, not who is wearing the ring. This is extremely dangerous. And the reason is I got people coming up to me and they go, Ernie, look, the birth certificate up, he's not allowed to, and he's gotten kind of illegitimate and not be commander in chief, and they're not going to, kind of, you know, I don't care. I go, it doesn't matter if he did have the right paperwork. He's still not my ruler in my head. You know, I go in, yeah, I may, yes'm, boss, how high? When I'm standing in front of them and they got an HP pointed at my head. Yes'm, boss, what y'all want me to be doing? I get the right size rock for my driveway. Yes'm, boss. But I want to make them say it and do it. And they'll get a little fine and they'll send it, you know, the letter over here, and they'll get there and it's too late and days of a fine. Kind of, they play their games. I know they do. Got to call. That's another thing. Donna, right now, go ahead and call that guy and see if he wrote the ticket. Okay. To say, well, we're looking for the ticket. We wonder if we got a ticket. Where's our ticket? You know, are we to look for one? Are we waiting? Do we need, you know, because we don't want to make sure it got, or just ask him if he sent it to the right address. So we didn't get it. We just want to make sure you got the right address. Okay? So you do that. Because I know what they, I've seen this before. You know, you're done with a demo. They did this. They sent, oh, we sent it. Wrong address, wrong person. Right? They do this stuff all day, them, those. You know, I know. But is it an individual or a person? No, it's a philosophy we're against. There's this whole concept of, well, he resisted, so we got a way to screw with him. We can dogpile on him, stop resisting arrest. I mean, you know, this is... So, what's the counter to that? What would be a future thing to predict? Who it is, and how many it is, and what celebrity it is, and how it doesn't matter. It's just that it happened. We are ripe. Are we at peak tyranny? Probably not, but we're getting there. You know, I mean, there's a tipping point somewhere. But what? How will you recognize it? When the people stop referring to, like, you know, President Manchurian, or it's Obamacare, or it's this one guy. No, we're against the entire philosophy of the elite justification of we rule you. You know, it's just that concept. That's the big prediction you're going to get from me. We're going to be working hard on this and trying to create this, and there will be someone or something that will represent, but it'll be a little girl spray painting a V on the wall and gets shot in the back. There'll be a woman that refuses to get up and move to the back of the bus. It'll be someone that will insist on their rights to do whatever. Somebody will get the crap beat out of them by dogpiling of the whatever, and you're just going, you know what? You picked the wrong person. That's what happens. It's the way it always happens. Will it happen in 2014? I think we're going to see big signs of it. We're going to stop blaming individuals and see it as a concept. And we're going to combat it with freedom up here. A revolution between the ears. 2014, I predict that.